Welcome to the Sunday Sessions. I'm Andy.
I'm Danny.
Well, I was going to go with some intro then, but we've just done another podcast and I was about to introduce a guest who's gone. So no point doing that one. Different format. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Very, very good. I actually did some fishing. We obviously have had a lovely weather window. It's still very nice at the moment.
I think we got about a month, I think. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, just as I go on holiday, bloody typical. Yeah, I did some fishing. We went out on Wednesday. I went out with Don 130 and the chairman of the Pout. This was a trip where my boat's out the water at the moment, so I've got no kit. The boat's out the water about an hour from home, so I've got no kit, no lures, no rods, no absolutely nothing. They were talking about doing a trip. I was like, you're going to have to lend me a rod and reel, all the rest of it. Yeah, not a problem. Mordecai picks me up, and all I've got in my hand is two vapes and a packet of Velos. That was it. Dave bought the sandwiches, the water, the beer, lent me a rod and reel. We got on Don 130's boat. I got driven out to the wrecks and I absolutely had it off. For once, when I fish with those two boys, because they're good, Dom is the king of wrecks. You turn up to a wreck and he'll just get there and he's like, he won't even need to do a practice drift.
Yeah.
There. He's just like, we need to be here. And it just drifts perfect every time. So I've got the king of the wrecks sticking me on them. He's even going, do you want a normal drift or do you want the big fish drift? I'm like, I want the big fish drift, Dom. Mordecai had a bit of a mare. He kept sticking it in the wreck. He was having a problem with his braid. He was down to like almost the back end and it just kept parting out. So we had to re-spool his reel while we were out there. And he was having a little moment. Me and Dom even went, we're just going to go and sit in the cab and just leave you to have your little moment. He was having a proper little moment. He was okay by the end of it. But yeah, we had a really good trip. We're out past the shipping lanes. I caught my biggest pollock.
Get on. Well done.
16 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, nice fish. Real nice fish. As soon as it popped up, I was like, that's the biggest pollock I've ever caught. Good stamper fish all the way through. We hit a couple of wrecks. Smaller fish just left straight away. One wreck in particular was fishing very well, which we do fish quite a lot, that wreck. That one did well. We've caught a lot of fish already and there's only so many fish we're going to take. It's hard putting pollock back all the time. So we were trying to hunt cod. We had got wind. A certain boat had some cod somewhere. And it was wrecks that Dom and Dave had never fished. I'd never been on them.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a real nice day, you know. We're just out there, a few beers. David made the most amazing beef and horseradish sandwiches, which were always right up my street. Bakewell slices as well. So we had me straight away. San Miguel, Bakewell slices, and beef and horseradish sandwiches. What did I say? Bakewell slices.
Bakewell sandwiches?
Yeah, that's new. I was having a moment, mate. Bakewell slices and beef and horseradish sandwiches. And I was just catching.
Yeah, get on.
And normally, I'm the one sticking it in the wreck. I'm losing lures. Like, those boys are losing leads all over the place. I lost one lead and three lures.
Yeah, man, that's a good go, mate.
Yeah, I was super happy. And I didn't catch a single pout. Not one pout graced my hook that day, which was amazing. We bumped into a couple of the other lads on the way back in, fished a wreck all together, just shouting abuse at each other, and then went to the pub. Top day.
Hey, yeah. What's not to like?
Oh, mate, it was a top day. Top day. Everyone got a load of fish, took some fish to the brother-in-law, took some over to me mate. Mum and dad got some, took two big fillets home for the dogs. Yeah.
Shut up, man.
It was just nice to be out fishing. You know,
when it happens, isn't it?
It was lovely. It was just nice to be out. We're all bouncing offshore. We're heading offshore and it was a bit choppy. Once we cleared like the lee of like start, the bit of chop out there, and I turn around and Mordecai is just smiling. I was like, you're just having a moment, aren't you, mate? He's like, oh, we're just so lucky. I was just like,
you can
just feel it. Ben mentioned it the other, was it Ben? Somebody mentioned, the amputee angler spoke about it on one of his YouTube videos recently about being in his happy place, being about how he's a family man and, you know, he very much likes being at home. But when he's out on his boat, and I even commented on the post just saying, as soon as I get onto my boat and I fire those engines up and I'm going out, all the stress just leaves the body. And we just had a cracking day out there on the water. Came back with a bit of a rosy red glow instead of my normal pale complexion. It's gone already, but that's a ginger thing. So, but yeah, that was good. So I actually did some fishing. What have you been up to?
Yeah, I've been out fishing. I actually went and attempted some bass fishing, which is pretty cool. So I went down to fairly well-known mark, local to me, on the back side of the wind, because it was chopping up a bit on the other side. One side's really sandy, one side's really muddy. So on the windward side, it can be a bit dirty. We've gone into these big sandbars. This time of year, it can be really good. We didn't catch a fucking thing.
Who were you out with?
I was out with my mate of mine, Rob, an older boy that fishes, who's kind of likes his bass fishing. Just you know, when you summed it up there, like your happy place on the boat. Well, we were just wading up these bars at low tide. It was beautiful sunshine. It was fairly flat because we were on the backside of the wind. It was fairly flat. You know what? It's actually really, really nice to just be stood out there. You know, you just got that vibe. Oh, bless you.
That's all right.
Yeah. And it was just really, really nice to just be out in the water. You know, when you're out and about, and although we didn't catch anything, it felt like any second now something was going to happen.
That bit of electricity through the line.
It was warm. There was life in the water. All up where it's super shallow, like sandbars.
Could you see them?
Yeah, there was fish moving around. There wasn't as many mullet as I thought, and I'll get onto that in a minute. But what there was loads of bait fish up right in the shallows where it was coming up, flooding from low, where the sun was making, because it's red sandstone there. It gets quite warm, so it floods up, and all the edges were covered in small finger mullet and baby schoolie bass. And that's the first time this year that we've gone down there, and there was like that much life moving. Every time you look around, something would get in and spook them. They'd spray everywhere. And that's really cool. So it did feel like any second now it was going to fish. But what I'd said the day after, I'd done another recce down there, slightly further up the system, and I'd done like both states of the tide. I'd walked a lot, glasses on, and like I think I said it in a previous episode, I like this time of year because I tend to kind of get tuned in and I'm spotting, I'm looking where the bars have moved, where the mud banks are now, if there's any snags in holes, and I really like that watercraft side of it, looking. And I'd done an entire day of tides looking to see how much mullet was now moving up the estuary, and nothing. Devoid of life. It was a little bit like concerning because usually they're already here, and it was nothing. It was fucking dead. And I was like, oh, kind of like a bit of a bummer, because we had the high of the other day where, although we didn't catch, but it was a lovely day out, and I'd gone back up the river with kind of the vibe of like, yeah, we're going to go find some fish, and it was nothing there. Left a bit deflated, in all honesty. Walked to work the next day, same route over the bridge, stuck me in over the bridge, put my glasses on, boom, fucking mullet everywhere.
Really? Like, yeah. And they just haven't made it that far down.
They
yet.
Weren't there the day before, and I'd spent the entire day there, and it was then the next day, black with them, they were everywhere. So just goes to show you could, and I guess that's fishing altogether, that's why it's called fishing, not catching. One day you go down, the next day is a totally different. And it was similar tide, slightly bigger tide, put 0.2 of a meter more difference in the tide, but up this far up the river doesn't make that much of a difference. But it went from being devoid of literally not a soul in the water to boom, everywhere you looked, big shoals of fin lips moving up and mooching and flanking. So that to me, that is the sign I've been eagerly waiting for, to get out and fish. So that's me now. That's it. That's the light switch on for me now.
Time
I will now
start.
Gun-ho now. Couple times a week, whether I'm catching or not, I'm going to be out there because now the mullet are in the system. So,
and are you going to target mullet?
No, I will target mullet a little bit later on the fly, but it's bass that I'm interested in. The early season bass coming in, chomping up and putting some weight on. So, and they move in the middle systems of the estuaries, eating crabs and stuff on the bottom, and baby flounders. And now the mullet are in big numbers. I know that the fish will be right in behind them. So that's super exciting for me. That is kind of like the light switch on of the season for me, so I'm buzzing now.
Oh, good.
Can't wait to
get back
out.
I'd see you excited.
Yeah, I'm dead keen now. It really got me, like, especially being so, having a good day out in the water, just loving it, then being mortified by, because I couldn't see fuck all in the system, it was dead, to the very next day going in there and it being everywhere. I was like, ooh, yeah, get on. And I needed that, you know?
Sounds like you needed it.
Yeah, it was good, mate. It was good. It's nice to get out, wasn't it?
Good. Good. What else have you been up to?
Not a lot, really, mate. The typical.
You were out drinking last night, though, weren't you?
I don't want to talk about that. I mean, I got a bit of a fragile head this morning, Andrew.
Not me.
It makes a change, doesn't it? But another one, it's just the sod's law that, as you all know, well, you should know, that the coarse fishing season closed, the rivers are closed. And normally, the lead up to the close season, there's this little patch of water on the River X where there's some locks where every year, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the closes, and the perch go in there and chase the bait up. And this year it didn't happen. And there's some quite big perch there. And it didn't happen this year. I was a bit peeved because I had one perch, a couple of big pike, but it just didn't happen. Walked there this week, looked over, stuck me over the head, over the railing. Fuck me, they're everywhere.
So how do that, as somebody that doesn't do that sort of fishing, How does it work with shutting the rivers, but you're still fishing the estuaries? Is there a certain point where they just say you can only like from so far down the river you can fish all year? Or how does it work?
Is it tidal
or non-tidal?
Yeah, it is, but it's more complicated than that. There's Crown land, which is at low tide marks you have access to, but then there's private land. Now, the X is a strange one, same as some of the other local rivers around here. It's actually all of the X estuary is privately owned. It isn't Crown land, it's privately owned. So you can have access to tidal waters if the owner of the land allows you, if you've got riparian fishing rights on there, or it's walkable.
No, but how does the close season work with...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm just getting into now. So as you have this access to this land. Now, obviously, tidal beats. Now, not every river, but most rivers will have like a weir.
Yeah.
Which can be maybe the tidal barrier.
So like the Totnes has got the weir.
Yeah, that's the tidal barrier. So above that, it's not tidal. Below it, it is tidal. Yeah. So that was your barrier. Now, there's another grey area in that. So some of these upper beats, these upper limit beats, are quite prolific salmon and sea trout fishing. So they can then be purchased by clubs. So you can't fish that either. And it's just that you'll have areas like on the X, for instance, the lead up to the tidal barriers, that there's a mixture of day ticket fishing and private salmon fishing. And then as you move down the beat, you go from private into day ticket, then into no man's land. And then that's where when it's in technically close season, but you can, if you wish, target the mullet and the bass. Now, Mr. EA Man may come handballing up to you if they think you're course fishing for course fish, but then it's down to you.
Fishing only, so the bass don't fall under it, and the mullet don't fall under
neither it. Neither do salmon and sea trout, because it's now game season. So you can legally with the appropriate rod license target the game fish. Some beats don't have game fish really, or in numbers, what means you can target them, because let's say the lower X, yes, there are trout in there, yes, there are salmon in there, yes, there are sea trout, but there are also millions of chub and perch. So if you were down there with your little spinners, or you were on the fly, in a lot of those lower beats, on the lower X, for instance, although technically with a trout license or a salmon and sea trout rod license, and then the X to ticket, game ticket, you could go and fish those beats. But unless you're very lucky, you don't necessarily, as a visiting angler, you're just going to catch loads of chub and perch. And that, you can't do that. They're out of season now. So it was down to you to
go. Does that fall under bycatch, or are you just not allowed to?
No, it does. Of course it does. Yeah. And it's no different in you flip that in the course season. If you catch a trout that's out of season, you don't want to be holding up for pictures. If you're fishing for trout and a perch grabs it, you do your best to unhook it in the water and just let it go on its way. You don't pick it up and have your big catch shot, because that's out of season. Same as a trout in core season. If you catch a whacking great big out of season brownie, really, and it happens all the time, I see it all the time, really, that fish needs to be unhooked, because it's no different than fishing for course fishing the close season, because it's just the trout's version of it. It's a close season either way, whether you're trout or your course. But it's just down to you. Like I was saying, if you're fishing these lower beats this time of year and Mr. EA Man comes flying up to you, asks you what you're doing on here because you're spinning or whatnot, you have to then provide enough proof as such to, no, I am fishing for mullet, or I am fishing for bass. And if you've got a wire leader, a wire trace on, and a fucking great big 10-inch lure, you're obviously not fishing for bass, you're fishing for pike, you know. But if you're down there with a fluorocarbon leader and you've got a small soft plastic in an area where there's bass and mullet, most of them will be like, oh, okay, yeah, we get that, and you'll be allowed to go on your way, you know. So there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in what you can and cannot do there, and a lot of it is down to very much interpretation between the officer, the bailiffs, you, where you should be, where you shouldn't be. And there's an element, and I always say this in the fishing shop, I'm responsible to understand and be aware of the rules on any given water. You don't just turn up blind and rock up and do it. It's my responsibility to ensure that where I go, I can be as legit as possible, you know? And we know that it doesn't happen all the time. We know that.
What are you pointing at me for?
I'm just waving the hand in that direction. But yeah, it's our responsibility to ensure that we're aware of any given bylaws at any given time.
Well said. Okay. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Cool. But other than that, no, it's been...
I didn't know that. I just thought that the rivers were closed, and then it just popped into my head, well, what about a closed season?
Salmon and sea trout season, yeah. Like Dan and I were saying, they were looking forward to our next episode on the actual podcast. He's been gagging for the trout season on the River X. Now he can now actually fish for them now. So he's like,
what's that season?
They vary in different systems, the dates are, but
it's your responsibility to know the bylaws of your fishery. Come on then.
Well said.
Come on then, let's hear it.
Yeah, fuck, I ain't got a clue. Anyway, next subject.
Next subject. So I like one of the sections that we've done in this is stuff that we've seen on social media.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start.
Okay.
So this one isn't so fishing based. This one is called How To Boating, if you could call it up. I found this guy pretty recently, actually. He's not in the UK, he's over in Florida. And I've never seen such a simple take on showing people how to get a boat on and off a dock in wind conditions and all the different...
Nice, man.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually learned quite a bit. It's still one of those things that I struggle with when you're bringing the boat in. You've got a ripping tide, you've got the wind blowing you off at the same time. You know, you're trying to come along, you're trying to parallel park on one of the pontoons. I even had it recently when the boat was coming out of the water. We took it down to QAB and I had to get it out of QAB on my own. And it's just blowing me straight into the boat next door. Mm. And I'd watched something that he had done and I implemented that. I still got it wrong. Time I got it right, but like it was still in my head of what I should be doing.
Okay.
So yeah, I find him really interesting. He's a really nice guy, doesn't come across like at all condescending or anything like that. I mean, he's got a hell of a lot of followers. He's just very calm about what he's doing in situations where you find it stressful. He's just, yeah, right, what I'm doing now is the wind's blowing up, so I'm pointing the rear of the boat into the wind. I'm splitting the sticks. I'm doing this. He does it on double-engine boats, onto bow thrusters, just single-engine boats.
I guess it's something that there'll be a massive proportion of people that didn't realise that there is this, how do you get your boat in and out? It isn't a car. You don't just pull up, reverse
it. It's like flying. I liken it to flying a plane. Once you're out on the water on your boat and you're going around... Very, very, I don't want to say it's very simple, but you're out, it's like driving a car, you're just out doing your thing. You need to understand some, like, the different navigation buoys and all the rest of it. But when you are trying to parallel park alongside a dock like this, and the wind might be blowing you off, or, you know, it might be blowing you on, or the tide dripping through in a certain direction, that's when it really does come into me.
I mean, who doesn't like being blowed off on the dock?
Definitely.
I mean, fucking, yeah.
He's on it today, isn't he? He's on it today. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's still pissed. But yeah, I find like this one here, how I would depart the dock with the current coming down. Like I love this video way of doing it as well. Like he does do videos out there at the same time, but it's...
That's cool. I like that.
It's clever stuff, isn't it? You know, so there's some thought that has gone into this and he's putting it in straight away. Look, straight away, you're just in the boat behind you. And it is, I see so many accidents in the marinas of people coming in, they get caught on the hop with the tide. When my old man's got his boat, he will not come onto that pontoon when the tide is like absolutely pumping through just because it's so much of a nightmare to get on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we are, the fishing that we're doing, we're going out when we're going out and we're coming in when we're coming in.
He's
leisure boating, we are not. So we need to park that or get that off. And I've taken loads from this channel. I really do enjoy it. I'm always watching his bits and pieces. Like little things about how he talks about, like he's either using a rope or he's actually using the pontoon. He'll put a fender there. And I really enjoy it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there's one. What you got? Up your game.
I'm actually going to call a favour in with a friend. Seven Expeditions, please, Aaron.
I haven't got any friends.
Exactly, no. So this is Tim Maslin, Karen Maslin. So they are based in Upton.
Is that him? Is this hot?
No. So basically what they are, as you can see, family boat hire on the River Severn. Now, that's fishing boats and also day boats you can get on. A family-run business in Upton on Severn, just past Tewkesbury. There's Chris Lowe, who we spoke about the other day, good friend of mine.
Fender.
Yeah, so they're good. Guided fishing, you can go out for the day. I mean, just such a cool little service that they offer. And they're really, really good at what they do, you know, and they're a friendly bunch.
I like the logo.
Yeah, they're just a good bunch. And like I say, whether you're an angler or you're not, you just want to spend a bit of day with the family, go up and down the Severn, or you are a dedicated angler, you want to go up there and hire a fishing boat for the day, or like I say, you want to go out have a guided session. Seven Expeditions, got it all covered for you. So a cool shout out. Good friends of mine, loves his wrasse fishing, a really good angler. Team Shimano, great guy, you know. So yeah, Seven Expeditions, give him a check out.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I've got another one for you. If you could, did we preload it? There we go. FS Guiding. This is Captain Crook. Nigel is his name. He is a hell of an angler. I met him at the show. He was on the pen stand. Come over, was talking tuna with me. He's looking at going in this year. I might need correcting. He either has a license already or he is going in for one this year. He is up on the Welsh coast. I will butcher the name of where it is, so I'm not even going to attempt it. Where is he? He's up there somewhere. I don't even know what that says.
Abersock, is it?
Yeah, North Wales. Yeah. Lovely centre console boat. Just a super nice guy. Chatting away to him throughout the show. He came over to the stand because we're next door to the Penn one. Talked to him quite a few times. Out there, predominantly bass, guiding for people, taking them out on the boat, fishing in and around the rocks and all that sort of stuff. Been watching some of his stuff. He's been very kindly commenting and liking our stuff.
Yeah, he always likes our stuff, doesn't he? So.
Yeah, really nice guy. He's, go check him out. FS_guiding. Go and give him a follow on Instagram. I don't know if he's on Facebook. He's definitely on Insta because we're staring at it. Go and have a look at him.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Really interesting stuff. And Nigel is a really nice bloke.
Nice.
Have you got another one?
No, that's it really. Just going to ask you what you do. You got anything planned? I mean, I know you're going on holiday soon, aren't you? So
we have got, I would say, next week me and you will do a Sunday sessions together.
Yep.
And then I'm gone.
Yep.
And I'm not going to be... Well, we got Ben coming in, UK fish layer. I'm probably going to give Ben the full month because I'm away for 2 weeks. Then I'm home for a week and then I'm gone again for a week. I'm not going to... There's not a... Aaron! Phone's ringing. I'm not going to jump in and kick him out. I'm going to give him the full month guys.
That'd be really good.
Yeah, we're going off on holiday because obviously tuna season is on its way. I like to get all my family holidays in because I don't want to be going...
And that'll come up on us quick now.
Yeah, I don't want to go on holiday when the fishing's really good or we have such a limited window because realistically... Starts August, September, October. By the time mid-October's come in, the fishing's getting a lot harder. Although I don't mind the harder fishing, the weather becomes the biggest player.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Like December's a write-off. Didn't do a trip at all in December. I might be wrong. I might have done one, but I'm pretty sure I did none. November, I would think I did two or maybe three. By then, with Tuna Gear brand firing up into full operation of getting bars out,
gets busy.
By the end of October, burnout sounds stupid, but I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm cooked. I'm done. It's time. I'm then looking at it. We always have a family holiday in December. Generally go away for New Year and that sort of stuff. So I like to get my holidays in early, spend some time with the girls. 2 weeks of not even contemplating fishing. I'm not even going to take the rods into Belgium with me. I'm just literally going to go and have a 2 week family holiday. We're taking the camper van. We're going in. We're going to spend a couple. We're going to drop into Belgium, go and see a couple of friends of mine, stop by Bruges. We've got a campsite booked there. There's a very nice swimming pool that we use there. It's got a wicked white water section in it.
Yeah, good on.
Really good fun. Going to go and see some friends of ours. They've got kids, friends of mine. They've got kids the same age. Probably going to Bruges, have some food with them. Then we're going up into the Netherlands and we've got a couple of... Going to Efflington.
Mm.
Very, very cool place. So much better than Euro Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you go on to... Oh, don't worry, I'm not going to do it.
No.
Yeah. There was a thing with the travel mum. That's how I found Efflington, who's like a holiday influencer lady. But I found it through them and it's a really, really cool place. Took the kids there last year. Both of them were ill. So, both of them were ill. Just taking them around this theme park going, you will have fun.
You will like it.
Give them county cowpole. And you're like, oh, God, here we go. But yeah, we've got, we use a lot of those Euro campsites.
Yeah.
Euro campsites are wicked. So we've got like a, they call them a lodge, but they're a glorified caravan. We've got one of those for 5 days. We're going into Efflington for 3 days. And then we've got 5 odd days on another Euro campsite, staying in the van, which has got a safari park on it.
Get on.
Yeah. In the middle, rhinos, giraffes, all this sort of stuff. So the girls are going to like that. Yeah, so family holiday, then I'm back.
I think it's Safari Parks, you know, I just think of the fucking Ace Ventura 2 where he comes out the rhino's ass.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
Mom, it's a baby!
Yeah, that
stay
is...
away from rhino's asses, Mr. Bolt.
Yeah, don't worry, I will be. And then I come back, I'm home for a week, and then I'm off to La Gomera fishing.
Get on.
Which I'm looking forward to. We'll do a full debrief on that.
Yep.
I want to go and catch some Dentex. I want to go and catch some Amberjacks. Might the tuna probably be coming through, might be a bit early for the marlin. But I was speaking to Jace, who is skipper in the boat we're on, and he was like, what fishing do you want to do? And I was like, I want to go and do that. I've done enough tuna fishing. Yeah, they've got some big tuna out there. Done enough tuna in. I've got the whole season to come on that yet. I think we're going off to Portugal in May for the tuna tournament anyway, so I'll get a tuna fix then. Never caught a Dentex, never caught an Amberjack. That's what I want.
Yeah, kick-ass, man.
Might try and do a bit of... they've got like big manta rays off the beach.
Stingrays.
Manta rays. That's those manta hooks in my head from the podcast we've just done. Yeah, big stingrays off the beach. Probably going to go and give that a little crack.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to take my ripple fisher out there with me. Maybe a Zanek if it gets here in time. Zanak if it gets here in time.
Potentially.
So, that's me.
That's cool. That's it, mate. I mean, I think we do have some news coming maybe in the next Sunday sessions. We've got to talk about it. Something that's going on here. We kind of hinted on it the other day. Some things that are going
to
be happening.
I ballsed it up a little bit, to be honest. I've been so busy. We should have done it today.
Yeah.
We should have been having that event today, really, which has now kicked it probably back to the end of April. When
so
I get back, it was very early.
If you like pizza, beers, pain, and fishing, it's going to be one for you. So keep an eye out for it. We will announce it in more detail in a future Sunday session.
Yeah, we'll do a proper,
I think it's going to be class.
It's going to be class. I should have done it already. I just ran out of time. Ran out of chance to film the intro for what we were going to do.
We'll do it.
But hopefully if we've still got said bit of equipment by the time that comes round, then we will.
Yeah.
I reckon it'll be like the first week of May. We'll probably actually run the event.
Yeah, cool.
I would say. How long does that mean? Give or take 25 to 30. Okay, yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what we wanted. Thank you for listening again. Your feedback on this stuff's been great. Hit the subscribe button if you are not subscribed, because it helps us out. It's free. It keeps you up to date with everything that we're doing. Check out the Facebook. Check out the Instagram. We've got a giveaway coming up on one of our next, not the next podcast.
Not the next one, the one after.
The one after with the one we've just recorded. We've got a really cool giveaway coming up with that one. So that's worth subscribing for, because you will get to see it before anybody else does. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Danny. Thank you for taking
pleasure
the trip.
Pleasure as always, Andrew.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aaron.
It has been a busy
morning.
We could not do it without him. Yeah. He does know that as well. We're absolutely fucked if he decides not to. So, yeah, thank you for listening. And I'll see you on the next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you again.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.